This program is part of the Ulagal Radio Network. Ulagal Radio, going beyond the pew, proclaiming truth, and encouraging the brethren.
Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Update. I'm your host, Dustin McRickard. It's an Ulagal Radio production. Last week we spoke with a young man named Luke Yates, all the way from Neosho, Missouri. Luke was telling us about how he left the Baptist Church in search of what the truth is about the Bible. And Luke made contact with some people of the Lord's church and has been in the middle of studying with him. Let's get back to Luke's story about his journey from the Baptist faith to becoming a New Testament Christian.
So the next 6 months were even more confusing to me. I started battling in my mind whether or not my baptism was truly according to the scriptures. Part of me thought, well, it was in the Baptist church and it was a Baptist preacher, and what he said beforehand, maybe that caused some doubt in my mind. Another thing I thought about was maybe I wasn't 100% fully convicted that baptism was essential for salvation. Maybe I saw in the scriptures from our study that that was the case, but I still was holding on to some of the stuff that I had been taught. And so I talked with my best friend's dad a lot. We studied a lot, and I told him of some of my doubts. And then about 6 months after that baptism, and I had been attending the church very faithfully, it was a Wednesday night, June 10th, 2009, I was baptized for the remission of sins by him, after a Wednesday night service. And I have no doubt in my mind that that was, for the right reason, and that, you know, that was for the forgiveness of sins. And so, you know, it's been about 6.5 years or so since I became a Christian. It's been an awesome experience, obviously, because of my family being raised to believe certain things. It's been tough as well, very tough. I think of Matthew 10 or Luke 14, where it talks about the struggle between following Jesus over following our family members. And so those passages are very close to my heart. I think a lot of people are faced with the truth. I think a lot of people see the truth, but because they don't want to upset their family members, because they don't want there to be division within their family, they choose to just live the way they've always been taught. And that's really sad. And it did take a while for me to finally overcome that. But I would not, you know, take back anything. I am so happy to be a Christian. And so that is my conversion story. It's a very interesting conversion story, and I thought maybe it could help some people out there who are listening. So do you have any questions?
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah, okay. It is a great account that you have given for us, Luke, and it definitely shows you the struggles of the denominational world and things that you were taught and raised to believe. And then going through those struggles, and especially that initial confusion or that conflict right off the bat, as we deal with on a daily basis when it comes to denominations. But what are, let's go into some of these. What verses? Do you have any verses that come to your mind of the main ones that really helped you out? Maybe we can list some verses, so maybe the listeners here at home, you know, maybe they're hearing this for the first time. Maybe they're just hearing the Gospel Update or Ulagal Radio for the first time. Or maybe they just heard your account going and they're saying, wait, hold on, time out. You mean to tell me I need to be baptized in order to be saved? So what verses would you give us that really helped you out and opened your eyes?
Well, I have a list here that I made a long time ago. I mean, it was probably a few years ago. Of a lot of scripture. I won't mention every single one, but specifically, all of the passages that deal with baptism were pretty eye-opening to me, specifically 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. You know, in that verse, it says, looking back at Noah and the flood and how he was saved through water, and then it says, and baptism now saves you. And that blew my mind. I had never seen that passage. I was never shown that passage in the way I was raised. And so that was extremely eye-opening. Of course, the accounts in Acts, I think, are extremely important whenever you're studying with someone who maybe came from the same beliefs that I did. Just looking at the different conversions in Acts 2:38 is obviously an eye-opening passage. And to be honest, in the Baptist church that I was raised in, I don't remember ever hearing a sermon or a lesson given to where anything was really taught on the book of Acts. And I can see why there might be a struggle there, because if someone who does not believe that baptism is essential for salvation were to look at the book of Acts, it might bring up some questions from some people. So it seemed that they steered clear of going to the book of Acts, a chapter that I have found to be maybe the most effective teaching chapter is Acts chapter 8. So for those out there listening, look at Acts chapter 8, read the whole chapter. There's so much we can learn from that chapter, specifically in the last half when you look at the Ethiopian eunuch. I think it's very interesting that Philip is there, and it says that he preaches to him Jesus, and then it goes on, and the eunuch's like, hey, here's some water. And Philip's like, well, what do you, you know, basically, what do you need to do? And so we never see Philip say anything about baptism. It says that he preached to him Jesus. But because the eunuch comes up to this water and says, you know, what doth hinder me to be baptized? We know for a fact that a part of preaching Jesus is preaching about baptism. So that was a very eye-opening passage. Let me read one passage from Luke. Just a short passage that was also very eye-opening. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. It's where Jesus is talking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, why do you call me Lord and do not do what I tell you? And, you know, the parallel is in Matthew 7, 21 and following. And just looking at that made me think, well, I was taught that you can simply pray to Jesus and say, Lord, and then you're saved. And then along with that, I was also taught the doctrine, once saved, always saved. So essentially, by their logic, if I can just say, Lord, Lord, save me, and he saves me, and then I can do anything, and that salvation will never be taken away, then it doesn't matter whether I do what he wants me to do or not. That's the logic. And so when I saw this verse, that made me question the once saved, always saved doctrine, because Jesus clearly says here, it's important. You need to do what I tell you. And that's not just baptism, of course. That's repenting, that's living a faithful life, that's confessing Jesus, that's continuing to believe in him, and so much more. And so that was a very eye-opening passage as well. And I'll end with one more, James chapter 2. James is probably my favorite book in all of the Bible. I like to call it the Proverbs of the New Testament. But James chapter 2, specifically starting in verse 14, but I will read just, I'll start in verse 22 if that's all right. James 2, verse 22 and following. You see that faith was active along with his works, talking about Abraham. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. And this is a very important verse, verse 24 for me. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead also. So I was taught in the doctrine faith only or faith alone. That's how they would phrase it. And so when I got to verse 24 of James chapter 2, the only passage in the entire Bible that uses the phrase faith alone, it says faith alone will not justify you. It says faith alone does not save you, essentially. And that you have to have works, there has to be actions with your faith. So those are just some of the passages that really helped me. For those out there, definitely look at Acts, look at all the conversion accounts. That's extremely helpful. And if you're studying with somebody, you know, take them through those in chronological order and show them what was done in their conversions. And then maybe look to James 2 and 1 Peter 3:21, and Romans chapter 6 is a very telling verses, passage as well when it comes to baptism. Sorry, I keep thinking of more passages, but I'll end with this one. Acts 22:16 also was a very telling verse in looking at Saul's conversion, where Ananias says, you know, why do you wait? And first of all, that was very telling because I was taught that you could wait a month to be baptized, even though they didn't teach that baptism was for salvation, but they would schedule it on a Sunday sometime in the future. But Ananias says, why are you waiting? You know, do it right now. Be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So that passage, man, I learned so much from just that passage. Calling on the name of the Lord is not just shouting, Lord, Lord. It's doing what Jesus says. And in Acts 22:16, that's connected to baptism. Also, it says that baptism is the when and where that our sins are washed away. And so Acts 22:16, which would be one of those conversion accounts in the book of Acts, was extremely helpful to me. So maybe with some of those verses, those can be helpful to those out there listening. They were extremely helpful to me in the way that I was raised to believe, and then just opening up my eyes. So we need to open up people's eyes.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. And furthermore, Luke, for our listeners out there, maybe you're hearing us for the first time. We encourage you. Maybe you have questions. Maybe you are wanting to know more about the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ. I'm going to have my email set up as a link underneath this post, and I'm almost certain that Luke would be more than happy to include his email also. If you have questions, to email Luke, and we'd be more than happy to talk to you more, set up a Bible study. The nice part about a Bible study is we have the connection where we can do it anywhere. You know, the lovely world of the Internet, we can have Bible studies wherever you are at right now, wherever you are sitting right now, and you have questions, I encourage you. Find your answer with the Bible. And if you need someone to guide you with that, as Philip, as he did with that eunuch, you know, we'll be more than happy to set up a Bible study with you. Luke, thank you for being on the Gospel Update, brother. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. And we pray for the great things in that area, for the Hillcrest Church of Christ, and everything that in your ministry as it continues to just be fruitful. So thank you for your work in the kingdom, brother.
Thank you very much, Dustin. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you for tuning into the Gospel Update. Take care, and God bless.